here's my answer to that question. Okay. If money weren't an issue and BYU could just pay him whatever he wanted, he would already be the coach. We would have hired him 10 years ago, and right now we'd all be talking about his replacement. That's what would be going on if money weren't an issue for hiring Kay Wynn.
It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode 213. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. Matt and I break down the coaching search so far and discuss who still might be in play as of Tuesday night. We then preview the Las Vegas Bowl and make some bold predictions. I'll let you know, one of us predicts BYU to win and the other to lose. And like other great holiday traditions, we go back to preview all of the bowl games in the next week, including those with teams we know nothing about. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com and listen to us right now. Rise and Shout podcast, episode 213, I believe. Matt, do you have tickets to The Force Awakens yet?
You already know the answer to this question. You're just asking me this so that you can mock me.
I ask you a lot of questions on this podcast for that purpose. So the answer is?
I'll play along. The answer is obviously no.
The bigger question is, why not?
Mostly out of laziness. I'm going to go ahead and use laziness as my excuse. I will at some point purchase tickets. I will pay to see the movie.
So at my local theater, if you go to it 7 times, you get a $100 gift certificate.
Oh my gosh. They still come out in front.
Well, in theory they don't, if you don't buy any concessions.
Right.
Right? If you buy no concessions, they lost. But here's
the
thing.
Newsflash, anybody who goes to see that movie 7 times is going to buy concessions.
They're bringing in the jumbo popcorn and the jumbo soda, my friend. And they'll be sitting in the back comparing it to the prequels. And have you seen the Saturday Night Live skit about the Star Wars toys?
The one where he's like, that's not how it lands.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, go Google Saturday Night Live Star Wars toy commercial. It's hilarious. And like many things, as Homer Simpson once said, it's funny because it's true.
It really is.
It is. It is. Matt, I did want to update the group on my book, P-Crosser. It was successfully crowdfunded. We made about $2,200. And
I left a zero out there.
Yeah, left a zero out there. And I've got an editor lined up, a professional editor, to edit the book and hopefully on track to publish in March.
Fantastic.
Shout out to Todd and Dee and Justin Sweeney for participating in the campaign.
Way to go. Way to go, boys.
Way to go, boys. All right, so Matt, we've got a lot to talk about today, so we should probably just get rolling.
There's a lot on this list, because it looks to me like there's a bowl extravaganza coming up here in a minute.
Yes, yes. We will be previewing later on in this show 9 bowls, including, of course, the Las Vegas Bowl.
Viva so Las Vegas!
Before we get to that, though, Matt, it's time for the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Matt, we profiled last time the women's basketball team had beaten a ranked Texas A&M team. They have won 6 straight, and all everything senior guard Lexi Eaton Rydolch? Is that her new married name? I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry, Lexi. And chances that she listens to this podcast are very, very low. So, but she's averaging 23 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, and 42% three-point shooting. Matt, my question is, can she switch over to the men's basketball team?
We could use her.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a minute. Matt, now is a sub-segment of this segment called Cougars in the Pros. With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Oops. Sit down, Goodell.
The Buffalo Bills select. Okay, Matt, BYU Statman on Twitter. I believe that is his handle. Let me make sure that's true. It's @BYU Statsman on Twitter. He's been following them on on all the NFL guys. So let's start with the NFL guys first. This week had a couple of good things happen. Ziggy Ansah added one sack to get his season total to 13.5 sacks and 37 tackles for loss.
13.5, that's my lucky number.
That doesn't make any sense. So
I can't have a lucky number?
No, you can't. No, you can't. Dallas Reynolds played 12 offensive snaps against Miami this week, so that's a pretty good deal. And then our man Kyle Van Noy played 11 defensive snaps, which I think is his high for the year, and had 16 special team snaps. So he plays almost every special team play. So he's starting to get more playing time as the season goes on. And of course, Oani Unga, 3 more tackles to bring his season total to 54. He is carving a little place for himself in the pros. And also in the good news segment is Craig Bills, who both of us thought would make an NFL roster or had a chance to make one. He was signed to the Philadelphia practice squad, I think, today.
I believe that was today. And what you may not have seen even later breaking was Jordan Leslie signed on with the Falcons.
I did not see that. That is not on this list. So that is your breaking news on the podcast.
I just saw it on Twitter about an hour ago. So.
And Daniel Sorensen also had 3 tackles this week as well against San Diego for the Kansas City Chiefs. So Matt Jimmer played in his 7th NBD game this week, or whatever that league is called. He scored 21. I don't really care that much.
This isn't even interesting to you? I think it's fun. Jimmer's scoring points. He's making it rain. It's like the good old days.
Except for the fact that you can only watch it on the internet, and he's playing against a bunch of guys I've never heard of.
Hmm. Wow. You just sucked all the fun right out of that one, didn't you?
If Jackson Emery was in this league, would you be following his every game?
No. But would he be pouring in like 30 points a game? Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, to me, the highlights of that first game that he played that looked like old-time Jimmer was fun. But it's only fun to me, really, if he gets back to the highest level. For him personally, good for you, man. I'm not, like, begrudging him at all. I just, my brain is not going to get super excited about that or European ball. That's just not my thing. If it's the NBA, great. If it's not, well, good for you. But I'm not going to be someone that's hanging on the box score from, you know, whatever that team is. So
no, I mean, I'm not in that space either, but this could be an opportunity for somebody to get a look at him. He's open. He could go to any team in the NBA. You know, if he keeps performing like this, he could get called up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there definitely is something there, and hopefully it gets him back into the NBA. Matt, let's stick with basketball, but this year's season, it's not great. If we take out, if we go from the rest of the season, Matt, it looks like BYU could finish 22-9 by projections with no great wins. Now, they've got chances for great wins. They've got the tournament coming up in Hawaii, and of course, it turns out St. Mary's, who we did not think was going to be great this year, is pretty good, and of course, Gonzaga is still a pretty good team. So there are chances, 4 in conference, and then maybe 1 or 2 before conference to get a quality win, which right now we don't really have one. So Matt, 22-9 with no top 40 wins, we don't play in the tournament.
No. Well, we play in a tournament.
We play in a tournament, but not the tournament.
No, not the one commonly referred to as March Madness.
Yeah, I mean, right now our best win is Belmont. And, you know, they are ranked like 92nd. So right now, that's not going to get you in. You're going to need some better wins than that. Like I said, the opportunities are there. But quite frankly, with the way they are playing, I'm not particularly optimistic about that. So
I think you'd need a real serious turnaround in play.
Yes, you would need and this team is young. There's a lot of hope that they could turn it around. but they still have to turn it around. Let's just say, and we said this last week and maybe the week before that, Matt, but we were dumb, and I don't mean me and you, though we're in that group too. But I mean all of the fans that were like, this could be a better team than last year.
No.
We were wrong. I don't believe they will be a better team than last year. Right now, they are not even close. So let's go to the tweet bag, Matt.
Tweet bag.
Andre Hutchins, that's at @AC_Hutchins on Twitter, asks, is it just me or does Collinsworth's game seem to be a little off from last year, forcing the issue, or maybe missing Haas? Matt, what's your take?
If I have to pick between those two problems, forcing the issue or missing Haas, I probably lean towards the missing Haas. But there's clearly something different about this year compared to last year. And I think that's a reasonable theory, is to say that the loss of Haas is going to impact the whole dynamic of how players are interacting on the floor. And I think, you know, is it Collinsworth trying to do too much, or, you know, not, is it just the way that defense, that players are defending or teams are defending this team? I think all that plays into that. So I lean into that missing Haas camp, as far as causes of what we're seeing right now.
So if you go to the geeky advanced stats on sportsreference.com, Kyle's win shares per 40 minutes is down, and his PER rating is also down. These are just individual measures of total play of the basketball player. Not back to, say, his sophomore year levels, still above that, but below last year. I think Andre is right. Collinsworth is not playing as well. I think Haas, we may have all underestimated that cascading effect of having a scorer like Haas, who's so efficient in your lineup, and what that does to everybody else on the roster. If you look at their ranking on Sports Reference, their Sports Reference ranking, rating, I should say, this, if they continued at this pace, Matt, because this is not a total thing, it's an average, this would be the worst team Rose has had since his first year, by that metric. I don't think they'll stay there, because I think they will get better. But right now, what it is it's Emery and Collinsworth and Davis, and everybody else is not playing well. Well, I shouldn't say that. Kafusi's probably playing where you thought he would. But Chase Fisher, this was his year to step up, and he has not stepped up.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, right now, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, I think they're going to struggle. And quite frankly, at this point, do you need to bring Fisher off the bench?
Maybe, and maybe that's the type of stuff that Rose starts doing. You know, he's going to have to start mixing this stuff up. And if you go to history, that's where he goes when things start to plateau or things aren't going well. He'll start tweaking with the lineup until he figures something out that they can be comfortable with and succeed with.
So according to sportsreference.com, BYU has the 42nd best defense, which is way better than last year, and now it's our offense that's terrible. I mean, you can't predict this stuff. If you had told me at the beginning of the year we'd have a top 50 defense, I'd say, my gosh, we could be a top 30 team.
Yeah, we're going to go a couple rounds.
No, not working out that way so far. So, Matt, we'll be back next week to talk more about basketball and preview that holiday tournament at a higher level. Of course, BYU has Central Michigan coming up on Friday night. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Speaking of Tuesday, Matt, so Ken, what's his last name?
Neil Matalolo.
Ken came and left, Matt, and media reports are a little weird. One beat writer for Navy and Dave McCann basically kind of saying, like, this doesn't look like it's going to happen, that Ken will remain the coach at Navy. But I wouldn't take anything written in stone yet. And by the way,
what? This isn't all decided? And yes. Somebody behind the scenes knows and they're just keeping this all in suspense for fun?
Yes. Probably not, Matt.
And I've really misread this situation.
Now, here's a man's name who I can pronounce, Kalani Sitake. See what I did?
Nice work.
He interviewed today. Again, mixed media reports, again from McCann.
Mixed media reports as far as where that interview took place. I mean, we're not even sure that interview was held in.
Yes. So, Matt, let's go back to Ken. is the Navy AD a dork? Like, could he have handled this more poorly?
Listen, if that guy's new nickname isn't Sour Grapes, then there's something wrong. But you know what? He decided to play it out the way that he did, send some messages out in the media. I think he was also trying to set the table for BYU to feel like that Ken would be a really hard get, put a little pressure on. I mean, how else is he going to react, right? I mean,
you just do it like all the other athletic directors, which is just keep your trap shut and try to keep your guy there. I mean, he tipped the press that Ken was coming to Provo. He broke the news.
Yeah, like, he did.
Your coach told you something in confidence, and you decided to tell a reporter. Now, like you said, maybe this was all some grand plan of his to keep Ken by basically making it look like BYU's a bunch of vultures and or to help Ken. I don't know. It was part of it is
I think that if he's looking at this, that Ken is going to just go do this interview to use as a bargaining chip to increase the pay they're giving him at Navy, I might make it a little hard on him too. Okay, I wouldn't do that.
But you can understand that someone might do that.
But maybe that was his angle. I don't know, because there is a school of thought out there. I don't know if there's schools of thought on this stuff. That's probably going a little bit too far. But there's people out there that believe that the only reason Niumatalolo came to Utah was to create the feeling that he might leave Navy. Right? It was just a bargaining ploy. A negotiation tactic.
Quite frankly, if Ken wants to do that, a lot of people professionally do that to...
That's life.
To make their current employer sit up and go, oh, well, what is this person really worth to us?
Yeah.
And Navy's had some success. Interestingly enough, Matt, I was in Virginia this past weekend, and I spent some time with an Army football fan, okay? And this woman's perspective was very interesting about him. Basically, she said, I really hope BYU hires him so we can go back to kicking the midshipmen's butts.
That's awesome.
So she was 100% in with that. So that's interestingly enough. And I was also greeted on the subway by someone asking me it's the Metro.
It's called the Metro. It's not the subway. It's called the Metro.
I know you, dang. Northern Virginia folks get all riled up.
I rode that thing daily for years.
Yes. So as I said, while I was on the subway, some guy, I had my BYU sweatshirt on, and he said, so is this Mendenhall guy good? And it turns out he's not a Virginia fan, but people are talking about Mendenhall going to Virginia, interestingly enough, stopping me on the street. So Matt, who's left? Is anybody else got, I mean, your two top choices last week were Satake and Anderson. Yep. To our knowledge, Anderson has not interviewed for the job.
Maybe he was in Portland today. I mean, we don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on.
No, and Homo.
Are making up entire dialogues between players here and just running with them.
But let's go with someone who may still be in play, okay? And let me throw something at you. This is, again, from Andre on Twitter. He says, if money wasn't an issue and BYU could pay Witt any amount, what other hurdles are keeping him from coming home to coach? Peter Brady on Twitter, that's at Peacemaker Pete, responded by Andre by saying his pact with Satan.
yeah, that's gonna build a damper on it.
That's gonna be... So, but on a serious note, Matt, I will answer this question this way. Nothing. Here's my prestige. Maybe it's prestige, too.
Here's my answer to that question. Okay. If money weren't an issue and BYU could just pay him whatever he wanted, he would already be the coach. We would have hired him 10 years ago, and right now we'd all be talking about his replacement. That's what would be going on if money weren't an issue for hiring Kay Witt.
That's pretty good.
But I think you're right. I mean, I think it's at that point, Maybe it's a prestige deal. I think there is something to this, and I'm not getting down on independents necessarily, and that's a different conversation. But I think that's part of the reason Bronco was ready to move on. I think he wanted to get into a conference. BYU doesn't have a clear path into a conference right now.
He wanted into a Power 5 conference.
Okay. Right, a P5 conference.
Yes.
And there was no clear path for that for BYU.
Yes, and that is the big difference for Utah and BYU, if you take away the money, is that ability to win a Pac-12, which in theory gets you into the top four in the playoffs. Now, it didn't work that way for the Pac-12 this year, but in theory, most years, that's probably going to be the case. The problem, as Utah found out this year, and that Bronco's going to find out, well, the ACC is not nearly as good as the Pac-12, but it's really hard to win that conference, right? Like, Utah had a good team this year, and they couldn't win their division with a very good team.
Winning a conference is hard.
Yes. I mean, everybody wants to be Alabama and roll every year. That is not how that's not how good conferences work.
And there's only one team like that right now.
Yes, one team.
Well, I don't know. You could argue that Ohio State is close to that space.
No, you can't. They don't have a sustained. No, I'd say no. Right now, if you were to project who's the best team next year in the SEC, do you have any doubts that it's Alabama?
No, I'm going to say Alabama. And if you ask me Big Ten, I'm going to say Michigan State.
Yes, exactly. That's the difference to me is the SEC, there is still a gap between Saban and everybody else. There is not, I don't think Ohio State has that right now, today.
You're probably right.
But going back to Whittingham, here's one thing that I saw on Twitter that it's speculation, and I'm not trying to say that it's not, but say for a minute that Homo and Whittingham get together for lunch, all right? Obviously someplace secret.
They're going to meet at the airport. I can see the picture on Twitter for a day and a half.
They're going to meet in Cafe Rio. There's no chance any Utah or BYU fans in there.
Legends Cafe, right on campus.
Legends Cafe, there you go. Let's say they met, and he offered him the job, and Witt says, yes. You know, I don't like working for Chris Hill, or I want to come back home to finish my career, or whatever his reasoning is. And I'm not saying both of us think it's unlikely.
I've temporarily lost my mind and I don't like money.
Yes. All those things, or all of them, or one of them, or none of them. And he says he wants to come back. They're not announcing it till after the bowl.
Oh, that's, absolutely true.
Right? Because you cannot, I mean, Utah would never schedule us again. I mean, that is a huge fire across the bow. So,
but think about this. You let him go coach that. You let him go coach that game knowing your team.
No. Utah doesn't let him coach the game. If he announced it tomorrow, he's not coaching on Saturday.
Right, but if they make the deal today but don't announce it till Monday.
I know.
And then Utah finds out that he coached the game knowing that he was leaving for the BYU job, is still the same effect.
You're right.
They're never going to play you again.
No, they're going to write out this next agreement and Hill will never schedule them again.
Oh, they might not even write out the agreement. They might buy you out. There's got to be some clause. They'll figure something out.
I do not believe that this is
rivalry fodder that would create.
Oh my
gosh,
it would be awesome. But here's the thing. I don't believe that's actually the case, nor do I think it's likely. Does it have a greater than 0% chance? Yes. But a greater than 5% chance? No.
Definitely not.
Maybe not a greater than 1%.
Whittingham is not coming through that door. He is in the same space as Andy Reid. It's not happening.
Oh, I don't think he's as far off as Reid, but you're right. He's in that category. He's not with these other guys we're talking about. So, Matt, another tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
That's Justin Whiting. That's at JN Whiting on Twitter, who has a Lego version of himself as his avatar, which is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It's been that way for a while, I think. Should we be more worried about all the assistant coaches leaving with Broncos? Seems like a big deal to have so many leave. Matt, your take on Justin's questions about the assistants.
It's like Bronco wants all the assistance. I mean, he even went and got that guy from Navy who was coaching the defensive line, Sean Nua, who's the former player. Like, he's getting all of them, right?
So he gets, here's the thing, for the first time maybe in his career as a head coach, he gets to make all the decisions when it regards to coaches.
Yeah.
My sources, and I love saying that.
Oh, here we go.
Tell
hashtag
me,
sources.
So when they rehired Dr. Anai, okay? Anai left basically because some people in the administration, not named Bronco, didn't think he was, they needed somebody else. Okay? Now, a lot of stories back then were about how Bronco forced him out. Do you force somebody out and then rehire them 2 years later? Not typically. And then do you bring them with you to your next stop?
Doesn't seem likely, does it?
It does not seem likely. So he now has total control, and he's going to fill every spot on his staff with one of, quote-unquote, his people. Now,
absolutely,
that doesn't mean they're all BYU, because he's got connections beyond that, has played and coached at different universities before starting his career at BYU. But he's putting together his staff. So get back to Justin's question, Matt. My response to that is, this is typically what happens when your coach leaves. This is not Lavelle retiring, where they can't follow Lavelle to the golf course.
I mean, they could.
They could. This is not the same. So when people say, oh, well, we didn't have this much turnover in the past, you were talking about the last two coaching changes were a legend retiring and a guy getting fired. That's not the same as a guy leaving for a different program. So,
well, when I look at this question too, the first thing I thought of was we should be worried about the assistants, maybe more worried about the assistants than we are, but not the ones who are leaving. We should be worried about who the potential assistants are that are coming. The difficult part about that is you can't really have that conversation until you know who the head coach is. You have to wait for the first set of dominoes to fall. You know, I started doing all my reading on Neil Matalolo's assistants at Navy. We've got some, you know, that Sean Nua was an obvious one. His defensive coordinator has got some ties. And so there were some people in there. You thought, oh, well, maybe if he comes, this is who he's going to bring. Who else is out there? Who else could he go get? But until you know who that head coach is, it's really difficult to see. But the assistant coaches' positions, I think, are really getting overshadowed in this right now. That's going to be significant.
Yes,
this will be very significant.
Yes, it is. And stay tuned, because you and I, Matt, have agreed that if there is a coaching change this week before the bowl, we will have our next episode. I think this
is on a special episode of the Rise and Shout podcast.
Jesse, never mind. I was going to do
I'm
a save
so
by the
excited.
Well.
I'm too scared. So excited. I'm so scared.
So, anyway, if you
did we
like
really just save, do that? Did that just happen right now?
Yeah,
did that really just happen?
We just absolutely did a Saved by the Bell reference.
Wow.
So, Matt, let's preview the purple Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah, it's royal purple, my friend.
Royal purple, whatever. I hate these stupid bowl name games. Names
they're
of
awesome.
The bowl games.
It's awesome. That's why there's so many bowls.
It's dumb.
So many bowls.
It's dumb. We'll get to that in a second, because we're going to talk about some dumb bowls.
Are you making fun of the sponsor of our bowl?
Yes. Yes, Royal Purple. I'm making
fun
of
it. That seems like bad form to me.
It's not the first time I've done it. the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia
that
Bowl.
That one was bad. Well, like, why would a local credit union sponsor a bowl?
It's stupid. Like, I'm a marketer, okay? I look for ROI when I spend the money that they're spending. I just can't imagine you get ROI. Royal Purple or
none
San
of these
Diego.
Guys do, though, right? I mean,
no.
I've read stuff on this. Nobody gets a return on this.
No,
it's like buying the rights to name a stadium.
It's a total
waste of money.
No, it's not. No, it's not. If you do it right, Tostitos, you can make money off it, but you have to do it right. You have to point your marketing to that event. You can't just sponsor it.
So you need to put oil cans on everybody's heads in the stands and have them throw motor oil at them?
I'm not sure. That's why I'm telling you. I don't think
I'm out of ideas.
The right,
I'm out of ideas.
But anyway,
not in marketing.
Yes, you are not in marketing. Thank goodness. So Matt, Utah is good.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start there. This is, I know people always want Utah and Utah State to be terrible. They're not. Utah is pretty good. Overall, Football Outsiders has them as the 33rd best team. Now, they have BYU a little higher than some of the other computers at 38. Matt, the strength of a Kyle Whittingham defense team, oddly enough, is their defense. 20th in the country, according to Football Outsiders S&P rankings, 4th against the run, and 28th against the pass. Matt, this will be probably the third best defense we've played this year. I don't mean to scare people, but the other two really good defenses we played were Michigan and Missouri. So before we get to the BYU side, Matt, the big news for Utah, though, is we are not playing the same Utah team that looked like they were possibly going to be playing for a Pac-12 championship. The biggest reason is Devontae Booker and his 1,500 total yards from this year, and he had close to 2,000 in 2014, is not there. He was lost for the season. Since then, they have lost both the games that he's been out, UCLA and Colorado. No, they won Colorado. They beat Colorado, but not by as much as they probably should have. They averaged only 310 yards after averaging over 400 yards a game before that, and 18 points a game in those two games without Booker. So that's my stat to remember, Matt. This is not actually the offense that Utah had most of the year without Booker. He's a very good player.
Yeah, I think that's a huge loss for Utah.
Yeah, it's massive there, and maybe the coaches will, you know, they didn't have time to quote unquote prepare before the UCLA game, right? There wasn't enough time to revamp the offense around other players and other things. So they've certainly had time now to do that. So maybe it won't be a huge issue. But I mean, come on, are you going to tell me they wouldn't want to have him back? Would you like to have Taysom back right now?
Yeah, I'd take Taysom back.
Yeah. So, I mean, they'd take him back. But I'm saying their coaching staff is good. They may do that. Matt, give me one reason why BYU could win this game, and then give me one reason why they might lose this game.
One reason BYU could win this game, I'm going to go ahead and say big play potential. That seems to be where BYU has been cashing in all year in games, is coming through with big plays in clutch times, playing from behind a little bit, those types of situations. So I feel like this is a BYU team. You always have to believe in their ability to get back or to stay in a game. The reason, if I were to say a reason BYU might lose this game, I'd go back to the point you've already covered. This is an extremely good defense. It's a very good defense. And when you look at what we've done against other teams with good defenses this year, we've had a hard time scoring points, had a hard time moving the football, had a hard time converting first downs.
Yep.
I think that's the scariest part of this game for me.
So for me, the reason BYU could win this game is the fact that this is a very good defense, but we match up with them pretty well, and I'll tell you why. They are extremely good against the run. They're ranked fourth by Essen, by Football Outsiders against the run. They are elite against the run. They are very good against the pass, but against the where we have struggled against Michigan and Missouri, they're really good against the pass. We're not a running team this year, not like we have been the last few years. Our offense is definitely a pass first offense for sure. And that's why I think that we might just match up with them a little better. They do not have their corners are good, but they're not Michigan good and physical, so they're not going to be able to pull what Michigan did against us to shut down the outside receivers. Reason we could lose this, Matt, is because our defense can't stop the run, and if they get their running game going, which they did actually have against Colorado, we may not be able to outscore them. I mean, if they can run for 200-plus yards against us, if that happens, then I think BYU's in serious trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're not going to be able to score 35, 40 points against this defense.
Nope.
We're not going to be able to do that. So, Matt, let's do a little over-under, okay, for the bowl game.
Here we go.
Tanner Mangum passing yards, 275, over or under?
Under.
I'm going to take the over. Let's do Tanner Mangum passing touchdowns, 1.5.
Under.
I'm going to take the over. You and I are thinking a little different game here. Over, under BYU yards rushing per play. Okay? Yards rushing per play, 3.3. And this is taking sacks out of the equation, Matt. So just called rushing plays. Over, under.
What have we averaged this year?
We have averaged this year, I think, about 4.5. But I'll look that up as you are...
I'll take the over on 3.3.
I am going to take the under on that one. Look at this.
We're all over the place.
We are seeing a different game, which is fun. This will be fun then as we get to the end. Yeah, the average yards per carry for the defense is right now at 4.6 is what we're doing for our defense, but we're actually trying to look at our offense, so I'm on the wrong spreadsheet. Our offense so far this year, rushing yard per carry is a little under 5.
Okay. I still feel good about my choice.
Yes. I think you could, but I am going to predict we really struggle to run the football. Matt, total yards for the Utah offense, 380, over or under?
Over.
I'm going to go under. Sacks by the BYU defense, over, under 1.5.
Over.
I'm also going to go over. So, Matt, it's prediction time. The Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. Oh, by the way, in case you're a gambler, which we probably don't have a lot of gamblers.
It's in Vegas.
It is in Vegas. The line has Utah by 2.5 and the over, under at 54. So before we get to your final prediction, are you taking Utah or BYU with that line?
At 2.5, Utah yes. Covers.
I'm going to take BYU. Over, under 54.
Under.
I'm going to take the under on that as well. Matt.
That one's easy.
That one's easy. That is too high. Matt, it sounds like you're predicting the evil Utes to win.
Unfortunately, my friend, I am predicting a BYU loss in the Las Vegas Bowl. I think there's a variety of factors here, and I don't want to get into distracted coaches, although I am a little concerned about that. But I think at the end of the day, this is going to be a very good defense. I think they're going to be able to kind of put the running game back together a little bit. They've had some time to account for the loss of Devontae Booker. And I think that I don't really feel good about our ability to adjust and face a defense like this or slow their run game down. I see a final score of Utah 17, BYU 14.
Okay, Matt. Well, it's funny enough, the difference between your prediction and my prediction comes down to a BYU one more touchdown. Okay. Devontae Booker's loss, though they've had time, he is really good, and they don't have somebody as good to come in and fill that spot. While I do think their rushing game will be better than it's not going to be because our rushing defense isn't very good, they're still going to be able to rush the ball. I think, though, we'll get a couple of turnovers from their offense. I think Mangum will be very sharp. They'll have a very good game plan for him, and he'll have studied what the U defense likes to do. I think with a couple turnovers, it's 21-17 for the Cougars. I think, the whole thing about distracted coaches and all that, it's almost impossible to know how that comes to play, right? You know what I mean? Like,
right, but it's going to be an easy thing to blame it on if we lose, right? Everyone's going to be like, oh, well, the coaches are all checked out.
Yes. But
that might, if we lose, that might mean nothing about whether or not they were focused.
They could have been totally focused and we could still lose because it's not like we're playing 5-7, we're not playing 6-6 Arizona. We're not playing 5-7 San Jose State. We're playing a good team that's on paper is better than we are. So, but the flip side to that is if they win, the narrative will be, well, everyone went out there because it was a rivalry game. You know, Tanner Mangum's quotes this week have been great, right? I grew up watching this rivalry. I can't wait to actually play in one. You know what I mean? Like, so yep. There's that factor. And a lot of these guys got recruited by and love Bronco and the other coaches that might be leaving. And do you give them one more effort? Now, would I be totally shocked if it's 21-0 Utah at halftime? I can't say that I would. I think there is a wide spectrum of possibilities for this game.
Well, that's one of the true facts about all rivalry games, right?
Yes.
Is that some of this stuff on paper just goes flying out the window.
Yes. Yes, especially when the two teams are fairly evenly matched, right? Obviously, if there's huge disparity, when BYU was way better than Utah, there weren't many close rivalry games, right? But to your point, when there's not a ton of difference, I mean, Vegas has this at 2.5. Vegas does not believe Utah's that much better than BYU, right? So, I don't know. I've got a good feeling about this, Matt. I've got a good feeling. I'm feeling, not a losing streak. I've heard a lot of people say if he loses, this will be, what, fifth straight we've lost to Utah?
Yep.
And that's the longest losing streak against Utah. I find that stat to be completely meaningless. During most of Lavelle's tenure, they were terrible, right? That would be like, you know, if all of a sudden we went into a conference with Wyoming and they got good. Well, this is the worst. We've now lost three straight to Wyoming. It's like, well, they were a joke. And Utah was a joke for a lot of the time Lavelle was there. So it stinks if he loses his fifth in a row, but I'm not that
and
worried about
this it. Is not Broncos' legacy, this one game.
No. We talked about that last week. This is, you can't say if he wins, he was our greatest coach, and if he loses, he's terrible. You can't. It not that much swings on this game.
Yeah, stop.
What I do think will be interesting is the fire Bronco crowd. What are they going to talk about this offseason?
Firing the next guy.
Yeah, probably. We'll see how much.
They're already coming up with reasons to fire Ken and Satake just in case.
Yeah. They've got a draft. Okay, Matt, every year we preview every single bowl game.
Because we're crazy like that.
Good, bad bowl games, good teams, bad teams. We don't care. Preview every bowl.
We love them all.
Today we are going to do, we've already done one bowl. And usually we talk about percent chance we will see any of that game. Of course, for the Las Vegas Bowl, it's 100% for both of us. But let's talk about the three other games on Saturday, December 19th. So, Matt, first up is the Gildan New Mexico Bowl. 6-6 Arizona out of the Pac-12, 7-5 Nuevo Mexico out of the Mountain West. The line has Arizona by 10. Matt, who you got in this one?
I got the Wildcats in this one. Bear down. I'm going to sit and watch this game in a Gildan t-shirt.
I don't even know what Gildan is. What's Gildan?
They make clothes. They make t-shirts and underwear and...
Oh, I may wear some Gildan underwear.
Good luck with that.
So I am also going to take the line of Arizona, which clearly means they win.
Matt, bear down.
The next game, okay, percent chance you see any of the Gildan New Mexico Bowl?
100.
I'm going to say 0.
It's the first bowl game. You're not going to watch any of the first bowl game?
My kids are in the Nutcracker. I've got three daughters in the Nutcracker the same time as the Las Vegas Bowl.
You're out.
I won't be watching any. Yeah, I don't know. There's DVR and don't text me. Okay.
Okay. Well, now I know not to text you during the game. That's cool.
I may shut off my phone, to be honest.
Because if you it's going to be blowing up either way, and you're going to want to turn on the Watch ESPN app.
No, stop. Stop. I just figured something out looking at the calendar. I'm not going.
What?
I'm staying with the baby because the in-laws are in town. That was a recent change to the schedule. Ha! Because I'm going on Thursday. They've got two performances. Never mind.
Watching the bowl game. I'm probably watching Purple Glory. Everybody.
I'm probably watching the Gildan Bowl too.
See,
That was just a little happy moment on the podcast.
Look at that. Look at
okay,
that.
Okay, so later that afternoon, Matt, is the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, which I had never heard of, in Montgomery.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
Nope. In Montgomery, Alabama, it's 8-4 Ohio at and 10-2 Appalachian State. Appalachian State is favored by 7.5, Matt. Who you got?
First of all, what is the Crampton Bowl?
I
what facility is this bowl game being played at? What's in Montgomery? I don't even know. I'm going to go ahead and take Appalachian State because they beat Michigan that one time, so I'll take them. This is the hard-hitting analysis you get during the bowl.
This is the absolute ridiculous analysis you get. I think a Mountaineer shoots a Bobcat. I'll use that. I'm going Appalachian State to cover, win and cover. Matt, the last, no, not last bowl. There's two more bowl games that day. On Saturday, we start off with a big slate. The Auto Nation Cure Bowl, which is played in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida. That I have heard of.
Two bowls just in this bowl. There's two bowls.
There's two bowls in this bowl. San Jose State, 5-7. And 6-6, Georgia State. Matt, this is the worst game.
What is this?
The worst game in in bowl history.
We didn't do percent chance you watch Ohio and Appalachian
State. It's 100%. I'll watch some of it.
Mine's only 50% because I think I'm going to be angry after the Las Vegas bowl. I'm going to need a break.
Fair enough. San Jose State's favored by 3. Who you got?
I'm taking Georgia State because no 5-7 team should be in a bowl game. That's stupid.
Okay, here's my prediction. I'm taking no one. I'm hoping somehow this bowl gets disbanded before it happens.
There are no winners in the Auto Nation.
There are no winners. If San Jose State finishes 5-8 and they lost to Georgia's, good golly, this is just terrible. That bowl needs to go away.
It's Georgia State.
Georgia State. Percent chance you see any of that game?
High.
And it's on CBS Sports Network.
It's like 85% probably. Don't you have that? Some of it. I do. I get CBS Sports Network.
Okay. I couldn't remember if you got that one.
I get all. If it has sports in the title, I've probably called them and asked for it.
There's 0% chance I see any of that game. That night is the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl. That's 9-3 Arkansas State, 8-4 Louisiana Tech. Tech is favored by 2. Matt, who you got?
I'm taking Arkansas State.
I am as well in the upset.
That's
nice.
Right.
I love it.
They had a great season in their conference. I feel good about their team. I really don't know very much about Louisiana Tech. And I know a guy that went to Arkansas State.
Nice.
So.
I like your reasoning. It's very, very solid. Matt, next up is on Monday at 1:30 Central Time. It's the Miami Beach Bowl. We know a little bit about that one. Played in maybe the worst-looking baseball stadium of the new generation of baseball stadiums.
Are they
going to
set that thing off in the outfield that like does all the crazily whirly twirlies when they hit home runs?
Probably every touchdown. Awesome. 11-2 Western Kentucky, 8-4 South Florida. Western Kentucky, what are they again? What's their mascot?
It's a big red something. Isn't it like a big red alien or something?
Hilltoppers.
Hilltoppers.
Yes, aliens. You were so close. I am taking Western Kentucky in this one to both cover and win. Matt?
I got the Bulls in the upset.
Ooh.
South Florida, baby.
Nice.
Basically playing at home.
Yeah, they are basically playing at home. That's true. Well, Matt,
Florida is such a small state.
We got four more bowls because we're not going to do them all today. We'll save some.
I kind of wish we could do them all, but then they'd be over and that would be sad.
No. We need to pace ourselves. We did, I think it was 3 years ago, we did all of them in one podcast, which I think was like 2 hours long and nobody listened to. So,
and I didn't stretch out. I pulled a hammy. It was bad.
You did pull a hammy. Your screaming was one of the worst things ever.
Those things hurt.
So on Tuesday, December 22nd, the day game is the famous Idaho Potato Bowl in Boise. 7-5 Akron, 6-6 Utah State. Oh, Matt, we didn't do percent chance of the Miami Beach Bowl on Monday the 21st. There's 0% chance I see any of that game. I'll be at work.
I'm probably going to miss it. I'm going to be getting stuff ready for Christmas. Yeah. I probably won't watch any of that game.
So on the 22nd, Akron and Utah State. Utah State is favored by a touchdown. I am taking the Aggies to win but not to cover. Matt, you?
I'm taking the Aggies to win and to cover.
Nice. Look at you. Look at you over supporting the Aggies. Over the Zips.
Percent chance, which is apparently a kangaroo.
Percent chance I see any of that game is 10%.
I'm more like 90.
Yeah, I'll be working that day as well. So if I get home a little early, I might turn it on. At 6 p.m. is Central Time is the Marmot Boca Raton Bowl.
What is Marmot?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is that the clothing?
Could be. Could be.
Whatever.
I think I ordered it once at a restaurant. Temple is 10-3. Toledo is 9-2. Temple is favored by 1.5. I don't like Temple, so I'm going Toledo. Toledo.
You don't Toledo.
Toledo. I just don't like Philadelphia.
Owls. Oh, the Owls are going to win this game, though. You really think Toledo's going to beat Temple? Come on.
Temple's favored by 1.5 points. They're not that good.
They're going to win by 7.
Oh my gosh, you're ridiculous.
They win by a touchdown or more. Write it down.
I won't, but thank you for saying that. Percent chance you see any of that game, the Boca Raton Bowl?
Probably 90%.
Zero for me. I will be at my second showing of The Force Awakens.
Oh my gosh.
yes, that's true. I no longer own tickets for 3 showings, though. I sold some tickets. So
wow, I'm proud of you.
At a markup, by the way. I am a capitalist pig.
I'm even more proud of you.
Yeah, I thought you would be. Wednesday, December 23rd, the afternoon game is the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, which wins the award for longest total number of letters in your bowl game name.
It's pretty sweet.
Congratulations, Poinsettia Bowl. 8-4 Boise State, very disappointing year for them. 8-5 Northern Illinois, a difficult year for them as well. Boise State's favored by 8.5. Matt, I've got Boise State to win but not cover. What do you got?
I'm also taking Boise State to win but not cover.
Percent chance I see some of this game, like 90. I'll be home.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, by this time? Yeah, come on. We've all checked out of anything important at that point. We're just home watching football.
That's right. Shopping will be done. I'll be watching football. The night game is the Go Daddy Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. 8-4 Georgia Southern, 10-3 Bowling Green. Bowling Green is favored by 7.5 points, Matt. I am taking Bowling Green to win and cover.
I'm also taking Bowling Green to win and cover, mostly because I didn't realize Georgia Southern was a Division I football team.
I didn't either. I didn't either. I was a little... I almost didn't put this on the list, Matt, because I thought, you know, there are some bowls that aren't Division I, and I thought this was one of them until I saw Bowling Green.
Yep. But so it'll be at Ladd Peebles Stadium, which is obviously a historic venue out in Mobile. Yes. So that'll be great.
Yeah, that'll be great for the 8 people that are there in the stands.
But you know what? I'm probably going to watch some of this game.
Yeah, I'd say there's a 75% chance I at least catch some of it. I certainly won't plan my day around it. For sure.
No.
So, Matt, we are at the end of our show.
That's it, huh?
We will be back next week to, of course, preview almost every other game, which is awesome. Every other bowl game. As I mentioned earlier on in the show, we will preview the Christmas tournament for the men's basketball team. And we may be talking about a new coach. We may be not. I have no idea.
You know, I don't think anybody has any idea.
No, I don't.
Tom Homo doesn't even know.
Maybe he doesn't. And that's the thing. That's the craziest part about all that this is, Matt, is that these are all people trying to make decisions, and predicting what decisions people will make is not always as easy as it looks like from the outside.
No, and there's not a single person who actually knows all the pieces of all the dialogue that's gone on.
No, nobody knows. No.
Except for Twitter.
Except for Twitter. And the problem I have with the reporters, and we've had many of the beat reporters that cover BYU on this podcast. And I mean no disrespect to any of them because I like personally, and I think that almost everybody that covers BYU as a beat reporter is very good at their job. Nobody knew this was coming, that Bronco was leaving. So I get a little dubious when I hear that there's reports coming out of BYU that Kalani Sitake's interview didn't go well. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that seems like, so how did it become a leaky sieve now when a week and a half ago, Bronco caught everybody flat-footed? All things have to happen is telephone conversations, which are very easy to keep private, right? I mean, flying in, very hard sometimes to keep private, but
especially when the AD calls a local news news outlet and lets them know.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, some of the guys, the professional reporter guys, they may be able to go in and get some pieces of information, right? But I think by and large, the speculation and the next level of analysis that fans are doing, I mean, it's fun, it's entertaining, but I'm not ready to buy any of it.
So, Matt, let's get out on one last Tweetbag question.
Tweetbag.
Justin Sweeney, that's at Justin D. Sweeney.
Sweeney.
On Twitter said, what would be more surprising to you, Matt? Number one, BYU beats Utah by 2 TDs. Number two, Kyle Whittingham becomes BYU's head coach. Or number three, Star Wars Episode 7 is as bad as the prequels. Matt, what would be the most surprising of those three scenarios?
Kyle Whittingham becoming the head coach. I think the other two are inside the realm of possibility. I just don't see Whittingham coming to Provo.
I think the Whittingham and Star Wars Episode 7 being as bad as the prequels are both what I would call greater than zero, but not high probability. BYU beating Utah by more than 2 touchdowns, all that takes is a couple of weird turnovers, right? Mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden BYU's up by 21 points to start the game, and Utah's barely touched the ball. You know what I mean? That yep. can happen, and I think that's greater than, you know, a 3% chance, which I think the other two have. Disney has spent so much money on this movie, it's going to at least be okay, right? It may not be great, but there is no way they've spent all this money if they looked at the final cut of this film and go, oh my gosh, this is as bad as Jar Jar.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But so the most surprising to you would be Kay Witt. I agree with you. That would be the most surprising of those three. All right, Matt. Well, as I said, we'll be back next week. Check out for all of your Cougar news. Check out CougarFan.com. You can follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. If you're not on Twitter, why not, Matt? Why not? You can follow us, like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/riseandshout. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello.